You're listening to Grassroots, www.innovationstudios.com. I'm Marcus, and I am back for another week. And this time I sound a little bit different to what I normally do, I'd imagine, as I've got my little microphone and my little setup here as I am at the moment in Shanklin in the Isle of Wight. Got a couple of performances here as part of a little tour for a holiday park company that I work for. And I'm here playing those shows. So I've got, just to stop myself getting bored in the hotel rooms when I'm between shows, I thought I'd bring my stuff with me. I've got my little laptop and I've got a little microphone that I can plug in, USB. So if I don't sound as clear as I normally do, I'm sorry about that. But needs must. And I didn't want to disappoint the people out there that always tune in every single week, or certainly apart from the 2 years where I didn't really do much, or the 18 months where I didn't really do much. But yeah, I've been, as I said, answering your emails and answering a few of your questions privately as well as on here to keep myself busy. It's been fun. It's lovely over here, nice and warm. We've got a ferry over on Monday morning. And I've got a couple of days here. I've got a couple of care home performances and a couple of day centre performances. And then a little festival at the end of Thursday night. And I'll be playing, doing a little slot as part of that. Nothing major. I'm not signed or anything. I'm just happened to have a couple of contacts that helped me and I fancied it. So I'm currently staying in the Channel View Hotel in Shanklin, Isle of Wight, and didn't get a sea view this time. Stayed here in November of last year with Cheryl and we had a beautiful view, but this time didn't quite happen, so there we go. But anyway, look, I had some great feedback last week with regards to some of you of your first singles that you bought. You remember that last week we were talking about the first singles that you bought, and I was talking about how I interacted with audiences, and I often asked them that question. And rather than doing that in a live environment, I thought I'd do that on here. And I've had a lot of fun, actually, with some of your answers. So I'm going to come to your answers now, read through just a few of the random ones. Some of these songs are obvious. Some of them are not as obvious, but we'll see. I won't necessarily say where you're from, because I want to just buzz through this as quickly as I can. But let's have a little look. Now, my first single was Obladi Oblada by Marmalade. Here's yours. Barbara was Purple People Eater. How about that for a classic? Janice was Good Timing. I believe that was Jimmy Jones. That's an old one, Janice. Good Timing. A tick, a tick, a tick. Now, how about this one? Ben. Swap Shop. Brown Sauce. I Just Want to Be a Winner. Oh, my God. I tell you what, Ben, when I read about that, when that email came through, I was like, my God, I bought that single. It was Noel Edmonds, Maggie Philbin and Keith Chegwin. I don't know whether John Craven was it, but the name of the band was Brown Sauce, and the song was, yeah, I Just Wanna Be a Winner. I thought it was a great song. Paul had Anarchy in the UK, Tom in the Summertime, Mingo Jerry, which has the immortal line, Have a Drink, Have a Drive, which they had to change. Garth was Do the Hucklebuck. I think it was an old song, but I'm assuming, I think Coast to Coast did it in 81 or 82. Poppy was the Birdie song. Oh my God, the tweets. Patrick was Shut Up Your Face, Joe Dolce. Mm-hmm. John, Is She Really Going Out With Him? Was that Joe? Oh, I can't think who it was. Is She Really Going Out With Him? Michelle, Rat Trap. That was a Boomtown Rats. Rob, Lily the Pink. Roy was She Loves You. Phil, I don't know whether this was deliberate or not, but Phil said his first single was Danger Games. That was the Pinkies. So if it was, I hope it was, and I hope you had fun with it. Steve, Big Fish, Little Fish. Right. Okay, was that Bob the Builder? Emily, Let's Get It Up. Was that AC/DC? I think it was Brian Arnold Lane. Now, that was Pink Floyd. Shirley, Young and In Love. Might be an old one. The one I know is by the Flying Pickets. Colin had Killer Queen. Nigel, Teenage Kicks. Ian, Glad All Over by the Dave Clark Five. Bernie had One Man Band by Leo Sayer. Great song. Angus, The Harvest of Love. Benny Hill. Yes, I remember The Harvest of Love. It was on, it was a Pink label. I think it might have been Harvest Records, or Pie. Pie Records, that was it, P-Y-E. Pie Records. The Harvest of Love was Benny Hill. Archie, 1230 O'Leary. That's Des O'Connor, I think. Matt was Embarrassment by Madness. Paula was System Addict by Five Star. Great tune. Rachel, I Swear. That would have been All for One, I think. Monica had Father and Son. I'm assuming Boyzone, about 95, 96. Could have been Cat Stevens, don't know. Maureen, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? That would have been Culture Club, possibly, but there was a version before that. Melanie was Whatever by Oasis. Jean, Walking on the Moon. Terry, What's Going On? Now, it could be the Four Non-Blondes, but it could be Marvin Gaye. So I'm not 100% sure on that one, Terry. Don, Toast. Oh, my God, what that rotten tune that had... Was it Paul Young was the lead singer of that band? Before he did Wherever I Lay My Hat and stuff like that. I'm sure it was Toast. Hazel was Living Doll. Bless you, Hazel. Heidi was The Girl I Knew Somewhere. That's The Monkees. Harry was Jesse's Girl. Raj was Flatbeat. Mr. Wazoo. Oh, my God. Yeah, I bought that. I've got to be honest. Oh, my God. Guilty pleasure. Ravi was Swamp Thing. That was The Grid, I believe. Nikki was The Monster Mash. Charlie was After All. By the Frank and Walters. Great song. After All, I Really Love You. That's a really great song, actually. Sandy was Gercha. And it was... at that time, Gercha was being used for... I think it was Watney's or Courage Best. Courage Best was the beer company that Chaz and Dave were doing those songs for. Darren was The Snake. Oh, yes, I've heard The Snake. Julie Donald, Where Is Your Trousers? And Kirsty, Singing the Blues. Now, Singing the Blues comes up a lot when I'm doing the care homes and I ask people about their first singles. They come up an awful lot, that song. So I decided to incorporate that into my set. We'll probably be in my set tomorrow in Shanklin at a local... There's a fish shop stroke bar place that's there, and I'm doing a little thing there because I happen to know the agent whose brother owns it, something like that, I think. I don't know, I don't make notes, but that was your first singles. That's always fun. Don't be afraid, you can always add to that and send it through if you suddenly think of it. Goodness me, there was some stuff on there, wasn't there?
Need help setting up your own home studio? Why not book a consultation online? Here at Innovation Studios, we can help and advise on the best equipment for you, your ideas, your budget, and your space. Maybe even book a home visit. We can help you set up, install, and use your software, offering a recording workshop in your very own studio in your very own home, going through techniques and offering advice and guidance to get you up and running. Go to www.innovationstudios.com for further information.
All right, let's get to your questions. Let's have a look this week. Hi, Marcus. I didn't say where this is from. Let me have a look at the thing. Cal Stew 1. Okay. Callum Stewart? Cal, I don't know. Cal Stew 1, that's the name of the email at Hotmail. Cal Stew 1 at Hotmail. Have you ever played a show whilst in total agony with toothache or any other injuries? Yes, but not with toothache. I played a show a couple of days after an operation on my foot, and I had to sit on a chair to do it, which was uncomfortable. But we find a way, Cal Stew. We find a way. I know people who have had various, you know, toothaches or you know, chronic headaches, or played shows with flu and stuff like that. But myself, not that often. Hopefully, that won't change. And that will be the same answer in 10 years, but we'll see what happens. let's have a little look through here. Here we go. Phil, when DIing my bass, are there any free bass amp VSTs or fairly cheap VSTs that will enhance my sound and make it sound more like it's through a bass rig? Hi, Phil. Yes, there are. I mean, the one that I like to use, which is a free VST, you can go to freevsts, I think it is, .com. Is Bass Professor, but you can get like Guitar Rig, which is a bit more expensive, but things like Bass Professor is really good. And there's also quite a few on there, like bass amp simulators and stuff like that. Bass Professor is probably one of the best ones that I always enjoy using. and you can tweak it, and you can have a little put a little bit of sort of air on it, so it sounds a little bit more live, you know, a little bit more amplified or through an amplifier. But Bass Professor is really, really good. DIing bass, sometimes it's, some people don't use that. They just like to DI it and then mess about with the EQ or the compressors and stuff like that. Doesn't always work, but it's, again, it's personal preference. If it works for you, then it works for you, Phil. That's the most important thing. But Bass Professor 2 is quite a good one. And on free VSTs, there are various compressors and various other little things that you can use. But they're pretty good. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, probably one of the best ones that I've used. And it's a free one. Although, of course, you can always make a donation to the people who have created it. And I suggest that you do, because they're going to save you a lot of time when it comes to recording and getting the right sounds. I'm hoping that you do save a lot of time, and I'm hoping you get exactly what you want, Phil. But that's quite a good one. David says, when we're live in front of an audience, we can't always hear the click at the start of the backing track. Is there a quick fix for this issue? Yes, there are, David. But, you know, it's one of those things that how deep do you want to go into it? There's a couple of ways you can do it. You've got things like in-ear monitoring and stuff like that, but that's a lot of money, and not always necessary if you're doing pubs on a Saturday night. A lot of people do use it. Get yourselves a decent stage monitor, a decent feedback monitor, keep it on the floor. But in recent times, there's been little things like there are personal monitors, which are little ones that literally just sit on a mic stand. You can get like a mic stand personal monitor, have it about sort of 3 foot high so it's pointing up at you, and have the track in it, and then you'll be able to hear the clicks at the start. But we found this in pubs many times. You set up quite often, and because you're trying to get heard at the back and you don't always want to overload the microphones, sometimes you have the speakers maybe 2 or 3 feet in front of you. Now that's great from an audience point of view because the vocals cut through nice and clear. But from a band point of view, we're behind that sound. All we've got is our sound, and we don't have any vocals. So sometimes that can be headaches when you're trying to get that exactly how you want it. So a little stage monitor. You know, even if you've only got vocals going through the front, depending on what you're using, you might be able to, if you're using, let's say, something like Mackie Thump or Alto powered speakers, active speakers, just get another one of those, put it on the floor and link it to one of the other two. If you've got backing tracks going through, which are stereo, you don't really want to have just one side, you know, just the left side or the right side coming back at you. So what you need to do is to just have that on the floor and take a mono out or a monitor out from your desk, which will then give you complete control over what you have in that track. But I suggest that you have a little bit of vocal and most of the backing track so you can hear yourself, David. But a lot of it is, of course, trial and error, and I do hope that you get it sorted, because you know, we always want you to I always want my people out there that listen to this to have rich success, and you know, that's all I can hope for, really. Lloyd says, "What essential things should we always keep in the travel and spares bag?" Okay. So always kettle leads, Lloyd. You'll always get through plenty of kettle leads. Couple of guitar cables, couple of mic cables, some 9-volt batteries, and little things like tape for taping down cables. And also silly little things that you'll need to have, like, sun cream. You need to have sun cream. Always have sun cream in your bag, just in the corner. Because there'll be lots of places where all of a sudden you'll turn up and they go, "You're outside today, lads. We'll put you outside. It's a nice day." And you haven't got sun cream. So little things like sun cream. But really, you just got to look at it. If you've only got one kettle lead in there, the chances of you blowing more than one kettle lead during a show are fairly remote. But maybe put a couple of those in there. A couple of spare microphones as well. A couple of sets of strings, ideally. A few plectrums. But really, it's just backup. The spares bag is not really there to be used. It's there in case you suddenly turn around and you go, "Quick, go and get me another extension lead off of the van." if you've got stuff you're going to use all the time, then that should always be in the bag. It shouldn't really change. That nothing should change there. If it's a case of you use what you do and you just need a few spares, you just need a few cables. Maybe a couple of adapters are quite good as well. Sometimes it's good to have an XLR to jack adapter or a jack to XLR adapter. Sometimes a speak on, like a couple of speaker cables or something. Basically one of everything. So one speaker cable at least, one mic stand, one mic cable at least, one microphone at least. Things like that. So that you're trying to cover as many eventualities as you can. And then if for any reason you need to use that, of course you replace it and you get another one. And you just, your spare bag becomes... it's always moving. Hopefully, if you put your equipment away properly at the end of the night, you put your leads away properly and you tape them down properly, reference my podcast from a couple of weeks ago where I told you how to put them away efficiently without ruining them, then you should be able to have those leads for a good few years. And I hope you do, Lloyd. Silly little things like sun cream and just things like that. And maybe, you know, it depends if it's a spares bag. Because you're not going to put your toothbrush in there. You don't want five members of the band using the same toothbrush. Or at least I hope you don't. So things like sun cream, you can always go, look, we're outside today, lads. You know, we better put some of this on. Just silly little things. Maybe an emergency fiver. But really, it's just... I mean, your drummer might want to put a couple of things in there. He might want to have a spare set of sticks. Obviously, some bass picks and things like that, a set of bass strings. And then you've got everything in that bag to get yourself out of trouble. Spare guitars and stuff like that should be up there anyway. And in your original gig bag, to start with, you should have in your regular gig bag spares anyway. So the spares bag should be spares of spares, if that makes sense. That's really just back to the wall, get yourself out of the stuck emergency bag, just maybe an extra extension or something like that. But thanks for your question, Lloyd. I appreciate that, mate, and good luck to you.
Music tuition online. Have your guitar, bass, mandolin, vocal tuition, even production live online. One-to-one tuition via Skype or alternative streaming media. Learn from the safety of your own home. For further information, please contact us at Innovation Studios at www.innovationstudios.com.
I tell you what, is it a warm day in Shanklin? I've got the old fan on. You might be able to hear that in the background. And sometimes there's a bit of telly on. Someone's got the telly on in the next room quite loud. I don't know what they're watching. Trying to work out what it is they could be watching. I haven't worked it out yet. Some sort of American sport, though, whatever it is. I hope they're enjoying it. Anyway, here we go. Here's another little question. Belinda, do you have any tips on switching off when you're wired after a show and you can't sleep for thinking about the business or how to improve on things? Hi, Belinda. I don't have any tips as such, but I can say that when you first start in this business... And I'm not the first one who's experienced this. If it's something you really want to do, and if it's something you're really interested in, and particularly if it's something that you want to do professionally, then you do obsess about it sometimes. You know, every show is important. Now, that isn't to say that the shows before that weren't important. They were. But when the difference is every single gig, you want to get invited back now because you want this to be your living. When that happens, all of a sudden, it's game on. It's time to, pick yourself up. And so you do worry about it. You do obsess about it. You are constantly searching for, improvements. I've said this before, and it's true, and I'm not going to burst your bubble, Belinda, that is musicians search for perfection. We never find it. If we find it, we'd retire. But the constant search for perfection keeps us moving. Now, one of the things, it's not a hilariously funny story, but it's years ago, I would finish shows. And when I suddenly decided to turn professional, I thought, this is my job now. So if they don't want me back, I've got to make this work. And in that first sort of 4 or 5 years when you're doing this, you suddenly think, oh my God, you know, the press is on. So many times you get back from gigs and think about, go to bed and think about, you know, what happened tonight? What can I improve? What can we do? Because you're not always working every single day. If you're in a band that's gigging sort of 4 or 5 nights a week, then you think, okay, we'll do the gig on Monday and then, you know, we'll have Tuesday off. We'll meet on Wednesday for sound check and we'll talk about what happened then. But whether it's solo, whether it's band, whatever it is, even if it's just one acoustic, even if it's open mic, sometimes if you get an idea, I've laid in bed, Belinda, sometimes and played whole shows in my head. I'll start with that song. And if I go into that, I'll go into that. And what I found was I used to keep a book by the bed that I would write notes in. So any time that I couldn't sleep or was struggling to sleep because I was thinking about the business or thinking about songs we could do or different ways that we could mic up the kit or different ways we could DI the instruments or, you know, all that sort of stuff that keeps you awake, I would write it in a book. I'd write it down and then I'd try and clear my mind and then I would sleep. And that was great for about 4 or 5 nights. I suddenly thought to myself, great, this is really good. I can sleep. I don't have to obsess about stuff. I can go to bed and think, what are we, you know, that's fine. I'll write that down. On about night 5 or night 6, I went to bed and I sat awake most of the night trying to think of something to write in the book, which kind of defeated the object of doing it to start with. But that was a way I found. You know, you don't, yeah, I was going to say get royally drunk and then fall asleep. Which some people go down that route, not me personally. Try and steer clear of the coffees and stuff like that. The other thing as well is quite often when you get back from a show, sometimes, or if you're driving back from a show and you're tired, sometimes you might stop and get a coffee. Let me promise you, don't do that. Because all that will happen, that does nothing for you for the rest of the journey. And then all of a sudden, when you get home about 1 in the morning, that's when it kicks in and you're awake all night. So I've had plenty of that, Belinda, trust me. But the most important thing is to just try and clear your mind. Remember that the you that does the music and the you that is, you know, the daughter, the sister, the, you know, the mother maybe, is a completely different person. So just remember that once you walk off that stage, leave it on the stage. Try to leave it on the stage and think about other things. I like to think about what I'm going to do on my days off when I'm not gigging, when I'm not working. Now, it's lovely over here. I'm going to have a walk out. Once I finish this podcast, I'm going to have a walk out and go and get an ice cream or something or do something. There's a nice little harbour down here, a nice little bit. So we'll have a walk down there. And the pier is about sort of half a mile. So we might have a walk up there, but whatever. And I think once I play this gig, I want to get back and, you know, chill out, watch some telly. It's important as well sometimes. It's okay to fall asleep with crap on the telly. Just put some stuff on the telly that's rubbish or old YouTube stuff or programs you watched years ago that's kind of sits in the background and you can fall asleep. But I know what it's like to worry about the shows and to always think, you know, oh, how can I make them better? And you're thinking, how are we going to improve this? And you sit up all night worrying about it. And then the next night, you're not as good because you've sat up all night and you're tired. So that's my take on it, Belinda. I hope that's helped you. My next question comes from Gene. And that's spelt G-E-N-E, like Gene Simmons. Hi, Marcus. Are active or passive speakers better? Hi, Gene. Well, active speakers these days are so loud and so powerful. Mackie Thumps, Altos, Alto TX, they brought out some new ones, Altos. My brother's got a set. They're like 8-inch speakers and they absolutely knock your block off. They sound like 15s. They're massive. The only thing that I have never liked about active speakers is that if you've got 4 of them, you've got to plug 4 separate speakers in. And then you've got a speaker for the power amp as well. So you're using 5. So let's say you've got 5 of them. You've got a mixer that's got a plug. You've got 5 speakers, 4 front of house and 1 monitor. So that's 6 speakers just for your PA. Whereas if you had a powered mixer that was say 1500 watt and 4 nice EVs or something like that, or, you know, the name of it won't come to me at the moment. The obvious one, the real obvious ones. That, I can't think of the name of the speaker off the top of my head. But Mackies are good. EVs are good. Jay, oh, what are they? Oh, really obvious ones. It won't come to me. I'm gonna have to look that up. Let me think what they are. Hang on a sec. RCFs, that's it. RCFs, I had to look. I've got to be honest, Gene, I had to look. So if you've got maybe four big 15s or 12s RCFs and a nice 1600 watt power amp, you're only using one plug to run the whole lot. And then if you've got a spare mixer, if for some reason the whole lot goes down, all of a sudden you're thinking, right, okay, so I just need to plug the other mixer in, swap the leads over, because you're normally two leads from the mixer, and then the speakers are sort of linked together with a throughput. But if you've got all of that happening, say speaker three kicks out, or the fuse goes in the plug, you're not going to have speaker four because speaker three isn't working. So you've blown both on that side. And then you've got to try and work out what speaker it is that isn't making the noise, or what speaker it is that isn't working, or what plug it is that isn't working. And by the time you've done that, it would have been a lot easier to just add a powered mixer and said something isn't working, plug it back in. Or you can always put your ear next to it, but then you've got to work out why. And then the next day, passive speakers tend to be okay with with links being linked to other speakers. Active ones are great and sound amazing, but if speaker three blows, then you don't have speaker four. If speaker one blows, you don't have speaker two. You know, looking at one and two being on the left, three and four being on the right. So if I had a choice, gun to the head, I would always use a powered mixer, maybe a nice Dynacord, a really, really good. Been using those for a while with four EVs. Or you can get, some of the Mackie mixers are amazing, but with powered speakers. That's if you've got a couple. But once you start using powered speakers in a band, see, this is the other thing as well. If you've got a band, sometimes it's going to be a three or four speakers. If it's a duo or a solo acoustic, then, you know, you can get some really fabulous sounding Mackie Pro FX mixers, which sound awesome with powered speakers. If you get a Mackie Pro FX 8 or 12, you can, with RCFs, a pair of powered RCFs or a couple of Mackie thumps, that's going to sound absolutely fantastic. So it depends, but once you've got a band, then you've got to have three or four speakers to get heard. And once you start putting things through, kick drums and bass, you know, on other guitars and stuff like that through the mixer, I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit old school, so I want to keep things simple. I don't like to mess about too much. If the power goes, I want to just swap the mixer over, plug it in, know the speakers are okay, they're not blown, or at least one of them hasn't blown, which is affecting the whole lot or that whole side. So it's a lot quicker process of setting up and getting the job done. But personal preference. If it's acoustic shows or nice and mellow, they sound amazing. Or solos, you can get plenty of power on them. But I like to keep things simple. I'd rather run one plug and maybe a powered monitor than five or six plugs, which would be two speakers at the front on the left, two speakers on the right, two speakers, one speaker on the floor, and a powered mixer, a passive mixer. You're looking at six plugs just for PA. And if your pub, you start running that from one socket or two sockets, you're going to trip everything out. So keep it simple. Two on stands if you're a solo artist. But yeah, I like passive stuff, and I think passive stuff is a little bit more foolproof. My opinion.
Have you ever wanted your own song, your own walk-on music, your own jingle, maybe your own personalised wedding dance? Our team of professional songwriters at Innovation Studios have been composing jingles, original songs, parodies, walk-on themes and instrumentals for years, and are ready to work with you to create the perfect music for you. from wrestling, darts and boxing intros to first dances for newlyweds, TV themes, chants and songs in any style with lyrics tailored exclusively to the team or individual. Have an original song written exclusively for that special person in your life, or celebrate a special occasion with the perfect song, written with your help and input to say everything that you want to say, creating an original and different memory that will live forever. All of our songs are royalty free and only a one-off payment is required. There aren't any hidden costs afterwards. Once the song or theme is written and recorded, it will be yours and yours alone. The only thing that we ask is that we can use part of it for promotional purposes afterwards. Contact our songwriting team at Innovation Studios for further information. www.innovationstudios.com.
You know what? Time flies when you're having fun. We're over half an hour in now. Okay, so that was a great question, active or passive speaker. Sorry if I went on a bit of a tangent. That happens sometimes because I start talking about all sorts of different stuff. This is an interesting question. Comes from Clive. Clive's in, he's put Bridgend. So I don't know if it's Bridgend Road or Bridgend. Hi, Marcus. I heard you mention that you have a Gibson Les Paul and you couldn't find a new bridge and tailpiece as it wasn't standard size. I have the same problem. Can you advise on whether you found one and also where you got it from, please? Hello, Clive. Yeah, I had this. Now, I spoke to Chris Essex Guitar Services, who's brilliant at this. And I said, I can't find one anywhere. And I couldn't. I ordered a standard fitting, tailpiece and bridge, and I could not get it to fit. It was just too small. And when I spoke to him about it, he said to me that for a couple of years, they moved the factories. Some of the guitars were made abroad. He said it may have been Canada. So they made a lot of them in USA, but they made a few of them in Canada. And he said that one of the factories, or at least one of the people that were making them, organizations that were making them, were kind of doing it all in the same factory and making everything in the same factory. So they would make the bridge and the tailpiece and the guitar and everything in the same factory, whereas in the USA, parts were shipped in. I don't know, you know, just I may or may not be have it exact. So in the end, what I had to do was to try and find, I went on eBay and I tried to find somebody who was selling spares or repairs or something like that. And my white Les Paul is a 1996 Les Paul Studio. So I had to find somebody with a Les Paul Studio from 95, 96. And then they were selling the parts off it. Basically, they'd snapped. Something had happened. They were snapping and they said the guitar's no good. It was, I don't know if it could have been repaired. Not my problem. But he said that he was selling the parts off of it. So I said to him, would you mind measuring them? Because I've got this problem. And he measured them and they corresponded exactly with my guitar. And I bought them. It didn't cost me loads of money. It cost me about 35 quid in fairness. And it came and they fitted. Where I sourced them from, Clive, I couldn't get them from Gibson. I wrote to them and I didn't really get any correspondence from them. That's not to name and shame them. That's just to say I didn't get a lot of correspondence from them. So it became one of those I'll try and sort it out myself scenarios. And I thought if I can find somebody who's got a similar guitar, Les Paul, and I went for it, same guitar, Les Paul Studio. His was cherry red. And he was literally just selling the parts off of it. It might have been actually that he was a rock guitarist and had got like a different bridge and tailpiece on there. I don't know, but he didn't need it and he was selling the parts. And it worked for me because I just said to him, that's great, same year as mine. And it worked. So you can find them, but you've got to look around. And I'm sorry, in a way I'm glad that it happened to you because it means that you were listening to my podcast and you came to me, you know, you asked my advice on it. But in another way, I'm sorry it happened to you because it's a real pain. Most tailpieces and bridges stay on guitars for years anyway. But this has been on it for like 26 years. And it was just so crusty that I thought, well, the best thing for me to do is to try and replace it. And they were like, you know, the golden ones. And I was really happy with what I got. And the guy was really helpful, measured it for me. And and I ended up that it was perfect size for me. So I got lucky, Clive. Hopefully you'll get lucky too. We'll see how you go, mate. But please drop me an email and let me know how it goes. Okay, just staying on the subjects of guitars. Kevin said, can sweat affect the electrics of a guitar? Yes, it can. Water and electrics don't mix, Kevin, right? You're probably aware of that. I've seen a few programs about this, and some people wax their pickups. You're not really going to damage your guitar too much if you're sweating all over the neck or sweating all over the volume controls and stuff like that. The damage is going to be if your sweat is dripping into the pickups. So what I read about was that you can wax the pickups. Just put some wax on it, which makes it waterproof, and the sweat or whatever it is will drop off. Don't get me wrong, if someone walks up to you and pours a pint of beer over you while you're playing, and it's happened to me at O'Neill's in Leytonstone, just a name and shame the place, although it's a great venue and I enjoyed playing it. Some people get out of control and someone threw a pint of something over me. It was definitely beer, all right, while I was playing a solo. There's not a lot you can do about that, but yeah, sweat, try, put a little bit of wax just on the outside of your pickups, and that just stops the, residue or the sweat dripping into the electrics. It isn't foolproof, but I know Angus Young, I've seen programs on Angus Young's guitar tech, and he said he does that, waxes the pickups because Angus sweats a lot, and just basically just said, that's the way to get around it. So that's sometimes a good way of doing it. Wayne says, how can I stop my ears ringing? LOL. Don't play your music so loud, Wayne. Keep it down. Basically, yeah, I mean, ears ringing and stuff like that. Take better care of yourself. Don't crank everything up. And don't be a silly boy and have your Walkman too loud in your ears. But the most important thing is you can get in-ear monitors, you can get earplugs, you can get, but I don't personally like them. But basically, just try to keep the volume to a normal level. And if playing live is the only thing that you're doing that's affecting your ears, then try not to have your music too loud at other times. Try not to have your Walkmans, your MP3 players or your things like that, your phone so loud in your ears. It's a vicious cycle, Wayne, because your ears start ringing and maybe sometimes your ears start paying the price for the loud music. And then your Walkman isn't loud enough because you're so used to it being louder. So you turn that up and that damages your ears. So just take better care of yourselves when it comes to that. There are plenty of options these days, plenty of ear monitors or earplugs out there that still allow the sound in that just stop your ears getting damaged. I'll send you a couple of links, Wayne. Hopefully that will help you. Wayne also says, I'm stuck in a Travelodge at the moment. What's the worst Travelodge meal? I don't know. Not directly from the Travelodge. I'm assuming that you're trying to... I suppose it's got to be pot noodle. Now, I read somewhere about a darts player who's absolutely mad. Richie Burnett. He's a hero of mine, Richie. And he told a story once about he was staying in a hotel and he had a pot noodle and he had no... The kettle didn't work in his room and it was about 2 a.m. and there was no one on the desk. So he turned the heating up and then found a way of draining the radiator into the pot noodle, get the hot water from that, stirred it in and ate it. Now... I'd advise you don't do that. But what that we were laughing so much when he told us. He just said, I didn't have any money and I bought myself a pot noodle and there was no hot water and I was starving and all the other lads got kebabs and that and I hadn't won any money. I didn't have any money with me and I had a pot noodle in my bag and I had to drain the radiator. And he said, the pot noodle, it was all this brown water coming out. I mean, how disgusting does that sound, right? But there you go. He's as nutty as a box of frogs, as somebody would have once said. Anyway, look, I've had fun today. I really have. It was a pleasure to take your questions. It was a pleasure to flick through your first singles. Keep them coming. I'm always enjoy reading through those, see if they're similar to some of the first singles that I brought. That is the end of Q&A number 49. So next week will be the Big 5-0, which I'm looking forward to. The old Hawaii, as the lads would say. We have this funny sort of name game thing. I don't know what it all means. Anyway, look, take very good care of yourselves. And until I see you again, this is Marcus, www.innovationstudios.com, Innovation Studios UK at Gmail. You can find me at Marky Guru on Twitter, and you can find us on Instagram and also Facebook and most social media sites. Thanks for your subscriptions. Thanks for your feedback and your correspondence. Look, I'm going to go and get myself an ice cream. I'm going to have a walk along down to the pier, and I might even have a tenner on some arcades because I'm in that sort of mood where I feel a bit brave. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy the sunshine. I'll catch up with you soon. Marcus signing off. Bye-bye for now.